Okay, so we don't know if he's, we don't have any sign of him yet.
You can put a tracking device on him.
God, you know.
Or you could just open with motion to adjourn.
Hi, is that you, Tom? I see we have another caller coming in from a phone number ending in 06.
Oh, little thing.
Sounds like the intended.
Not you, Charlie Land.
It's not. Oh, and they locked off. So I'm not sure who that was, but maybe they'll figure it out and
okay.
Come back.
Hey, that was me. I hadn't heard anything. Has the meeting not started yet?
Oh, hi, Phil. Thanks for joining us. We haven't officially started the meeting yet. But can you hear us now?
Yes, I can. Is this Angelina?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, thank you.
This is Phil.
Are you excited about the in-person meeting?
Here we are, you know. We've got what better time than now.
we've always liked them better than the...
We have a room for Phil.
Hey, was that Jim?
Tim, close enough.
Hey, Tim.
How are you?
All right, thanks for taking my call before, and glad to be here with you all.
Yep.
Here, in quotes.
Madam Chairwoman, would you like to
commence
the proceedings?
I believe we should begin the meeting.
Okay, pledge of roll call first. Catherine Bynecoffner.
Present.
Charles Landy.
Here.
Tom Kirkandas is not here. James Gordon.
Here.
Okay.
Margot Becker.
That's me.
Kenneth Gilligan is here. Timothy DeGraff.
Here.
Charlie Whitaker.
Here.
Angelina Brandt.
Here.
Melinda France.
Here.
Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. How are you?
Public comments. Do we have any public comments?
Yes.
Okay. The chair recognizes Comptroller Gallagher.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I appreciate your time and your public service. I'm here before you today on behalf of the taxpayers of Ulster County to request, as the newly convened board of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, that the agency comply with our audit and Judge Fisher's order rather than appeal her decision. A decision whether or not to appeal must be made by the agency by March 18th, before this board convenes again, which is why I'm here today. After receiving complaints from neighbors, municipalities, employees, and customers, my office initiated an audit of the agency's composting operation last spring. The agency sued our office to stop the audit. Judge Lisa Fisher ruled ordering compliance with the audit in October of 2021. The agency has asked my office, and I consented, to a stay of the judge's order and two extensions of the deadline to appeal. Judge Fisher's decision was well-grounded in law and fact, and although she would not sit in on a review of her own case, I'd like to point out that Judge Fisher has been elevated to the appellate division since her decision. I do not believe the agency has a likelihood of success on the merits. We have been asked by agency counsel to sign a settlement agreement, and I want to explain to you why I cannot and will not do that. First, there is nothing to settle. The judge has ruled, and the next step in the case is for the agency to comply or appeal. There is no active pending litigation at this time. Second, 57% of Ulster County's annual operating budget is spent through outside agencies, just like this one, each of which executes a contract, just like this agency did, to obtain the composting grant. And each of those contracts contains an audit clause, just like yours did, that gives Ulster County audit authority over the books and records of the program for 6 years. On behalf of the taxpayers of Ulster County, I am unable to concede my office's audit authority created under the Ulster County Charter and affirmed in $200 million of contracts each year. Third and finally, your agency is one of five outside entities created under state law with appointments made by the county, either an LDC or a public authority, that do important work for county taxpayers. And I will not undermine Judge Fisher's decision in any way that might negate my office's audit authority over transactions like the sale of Tech City, pilot agreements by the IDA, or the development of housing at Golden Hill. This audit is intended to identify areas where internal controls can be strengthened. Delaying our work is not in the best interest of the agency, as you do work to improve the governance and leadership to ready the agency for tasks ahead. Although I will not sign anything limiting the interpretation of the judge's opinion for the reasons I previously stated, the agency is free to comply with the judge's order and merely provide your own accompanying interpretation of what compliance means to the agency. I'm going to repeat what I said. I will not sign anything limiting the judge's, the interpretation of the judge's order, but you can comply as you see fit. That would be simple, it would be cost-effective, and it's the right thing to do. Again, on behalf of the taxpayers of Ulster County, I urge you to comply with the audit, forego a fruitless appeal, and avoid wasting even more taxpayer dollars. I am available to speak with any member of this board or staff as you wish. If you want to go through your counsel to our attorney, that's fine too. But I wanted to make myself available to you as a person here today to say, let us work together. Please provide the books and records requested. Let us make our recommendations on internal controls, some of which you have already begun to institute, like adopting a new code of ethics in December. Thank you.
March.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Good. Would you be good enough to make copies of that?
I will send it over. Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep.
Or could Melinda just make copies from your text, or have you got notes on it?
Do you have notes on it?
No.
Okay. Great. You could do that right now. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Do you have any other public comments?
Dr. Beinkoffner, if I may, on February 7th, we received a comment through our website, which is very common, but this one I'd like to share with the board. I had asked the Ulster County resident if that was okay if I read it and disclosed his name during our public comment period, and they were overjoyed with that. So this is a comment from Patrick Trees, and their message to us was, I just wanted to commend you and the staff at the Kingston Transfer Station. I'm a residential customer in Ulster County, and it was my first visit to the facility in a very long time. Everyone there was respectful and helpful in guiding me through getting rid of several van loads filled with garbage, in dealing with the electronics recycling program, the household hazardous waste collection events. All the staff have been helpful and efficient. The instructions on this website are also extremely helpful with waste material and recycling. I appreciate the services you provide and the staff for their helpfulness and friendly disposition. I just wanted to share that with our directors, and you know, as we get comments like this all the time, but I thought maybe I would share them to start our meetings out. So that is from Patrick Trees.
I have to say I'm really impressed with how the website has really grown and provided more information to the public. And that's a really wonderful thing.
Thank you so much.
I like the little letter from the student also, Philip, who wrote to you. So that's good. Let's see. We don't have any more public comments, I guess. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to first say that I want to remind us that we are a public benefit corporation, and our meetings are to fulfill the fiduciary responsibilities of conducting the solid waste business that we work on here in Ulster County. And one thing we need to do is go back to our committee assignments, because our board has changed. So I have a list of the committees, which include the Audit Committee, the Finance Committee, the Governance Committee, and the Recycling Oversight Committee, which is actually not really our committee. It's a committee of the, as far as I understand, the Ulster County Legislature, specifically underneath the Energy and Environment Sustainability Committee. And then there's a Zero Waste Committee, which we have a Zero Waste Committee. I don't know. I think we had one person who actually did attend the Zero Waste Implementation Committee, which I believe is part of the above-mentioned Ulster County Legislature Energy Environment, Environment, Energy, and Sustainability Committee. So, the Audit Committee, we have three people, and we're all still here. Charlie Landy is the chair. He's also our treasurer, which makes sense. I happen to be on that committee, and then Tom Kikandis is on that committee. Does anyone want to change, or should we remain as we are?
Yeah, we can leave
that. Tom, are you happy to stay in the
Audit Committee? Yeah, it's okay. Fine. Charlie does all the work, so it's
easy. Yeah, well, actually, the auditors do all the work.
Right.
We just get to talk to them and find out, and if we have specific things.
Well, I rely on him to ask good questions, and then I listen and nod.
And so the Audit Committee will just remain the same.
Dr. Beinfachter, we do have Phil Erner, who's logging in to the meeting electronically, and he just put a comment in the chat that it is hard to hear you. And I know it's even more difficult. We're all wearing masks, but I just wanted to make that note. He was asking if you could speak up on that
side
of the table, and I can try to push this closer to the middle of the table a little bit.
Okay.
We do have new phones coming in that are going to be installed, and one of the items that we're purchasing is a conference phone for the table so that we don't have to use plastic.
Oh, great idea.
Which will be a lot, I think, more clear for the call going forward.
Well, I don't know. Would you guys mind if I took off my mask?
No. Or if the microphone's still over there, you could,
or I could move
sit
over there
for a little while or whatever.
I could move over there. Why don't I just move over there? And then that would do.
So. I'm trying to get rid of you, just thinking how Mike's
going. No, I was thinking the same thing. I love you too.
Charlie, can you pass that stuff to Tom?
All right. Okay, here.
Back right there.
This a little folder. Can you pass it?
Got it. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Right.
Almost all my stuff has gotten moved
with
me. Very good. Okay, Phil. Sorry, Phil. It took us a while to move.
He's probably on mute.
Trying to sit in a chair without falling over is always good, too. Okay, so here we are now ready for the Finance Committee. We still have Charlie Landy, Tom Kikandis. Lisa Mitten was on this committee. And I don't know.
This committee is only intended to meet if we're doing any bonding, so it's a beyond a rarity.
Well, then I'm kind of busy, so that might be a good committee for me. Seriously.
Okay.
I know everyone's kind of busy, so Margo, I don't mean to step in front.
No, please go right ahead.
Okay. Well, we actually thought you might be interested, so
okay.
Mm-hmm. We'll put you down. The Governance Committee consisted of Joanne Myers, Lisa Mitten, and myself. And I'm the only one left from that group, so I would probably...
Could you explain what the Governance Committee does? Or at least...
Okay, I will try. We make up policies that have to do with things like... We were accused by the comptroller of hiring our relatives. There's another way of calling it, but I can't think of the
nepotism.
Nepotism, right. Oh. We didn't have much in the way of policies related to compost, which brought about all of this auditing by the comptroller of compost. Now, I don't know how you audit compost. Maybe you use
a
shovel.
So you make policies governing how the agency itself functions, in other words?
Right. And one particular one that might be of interest to everybody that we should review either independently or together is conflict of interest. That is absolutely critical because you have to remember that your responsibility on this board has to do with the financial aspects of running this agency. And that if for some reason you had a conflict of interest or you exhibited some interest in contrary to the fiduciary responsibility, that would be a very serious conflict of interest. So I just wanted to mention that one while we're here. Anyway, I don't know. Margo, are you interested in that?
Yeah, I would be.
Okay.
Will you join, Jim?
Yes, I certainly would be willing to do that as
okay.
well. How often does that meet, just so I have some idea?
Usually whenever we have policies that we need to look at. Last year was the first time we actually, convened a true committee. In the past, it had always been a committee of the whole, of the board of as a whole.
Uh-huh.
I try to make it a point to actually have the governance committee serve its actual function here. And one of the big roles that you would actually play has to do with ABO compliance. Because that's a whole other separate section of rules that we have to abide by. That, for instance, is outside of municipal law. And actually, we just had a part of our last internal audit. We had our internal auditors actually review that compliance. We've never had a compliance audit,
but I didn't remember ever getting
ABO. But it's certainly possible.
And ABO, I'm sorry.
The Authorities Budget Office.
Okay.
They were created back in 2006, to basically have some type of compliance or regulatory agency to look at, public authorities like ourselves, or say the New York State Thruway Authority, IDAs. There's lots of public authorities in New York State. I think New York State has more than anyone else, and that's quite a lot.
Yeah, there's hundreds. But you'll get exposed to ABO because we all do periodic training. I think it's every 3 years, right, Kathy?
Yes, well, at the beginning of your term.
Yep. Yeah. Anytime you're appointed or reappointed.
Oh, okay.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. And I'll have a lot of that discussion, when I give you guys your presentation.
Great.
Great.
Thanks.
Yep. And they also have a good website relative to conflict of interest and all the stuff that Tim has to take care of.
Policy
file
guidance,
stuff with them.
Yep. Well, good governance, to be exact.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right. Well, it sounds like a very interesting committee.
Uh-huh.
Happy to serve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So we have three of us. Excellent. Recycling Oversight Committee.
Yeah, so I have been, I was appointed by the legislature to that committee. Of course, now I'm not a member since I've joined the UCRA board. But I'd be more than happy to continue to attend those meetings, to bring the information, to be communication between those two entities.
Well, I think Tom wanted to do that. Charlie Landy has been attending for quite a while. But I thought that Tom, at our last meeting, volunteering to do that.
Well, but I'd support Margo doing it mostly from a time constraint standpoint right now. And then if she reports back to us, we can discuss stuff here.
Okay, let's make sure that when they have a meeting, we'll make you first. If you can't go, then you contact either Tom or Charlie, and one of them attends.
Okay, sounds great.
So we always have somebody attending.
Yeah, I'm happy
great.
To backstop that way because, we need to be there if not.
Yep.
And I felt your comments about recycling at the last meeting were absolutely critical. That's probably one of the biggest problems.
Yeah, we need to follow that.
That it's not our agency so much. It is the entire county.
Right.
So there's going to have to be legislation to fix that.
Yes, and I believe... From what I understand of, and I've also been attending the other committee, the Zero Waste Implementation Plan Committee. Everyone's in agreement with that. It's a collective effort. No one's dumping, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
everything on UCRA. There are many entities that have to be working on this together, and discussion has to be clear.
Right. Well, so much of it is before it ever gets to us, where you have to have waste diversion.
That's right.
There's only a limited amount that we can do. Only how many tons of waste diversion did you do last year, Charlie?
We did, I don't know, all together we did something like...
Oh, you had the chart. I don't actually have the chart for this year. I had the chart from the year before.
Yeah, I sent it to Tim, though. We did 600-700 tons of diversions. Mm-hmm.
Which consisted of
fluorescent light bulbs, anything environmentally that shouldn't be gone to a landfill, any unauthorized waste that shouldn't be gone to a landfill, anything that, according to the EPA, that has to be collected and all the gases be taken out of it, such as Freon units. Tires are another thing. Propane tanks are another thing. Ballasts, we also pulled that ballasts from the garden. We also were looking at every single load for any kind of chemicals. There's been several chemical fires and stuff like that there. So,
because there's more to divert, obviously, you know.
Textiles, you know, we did divert. I was just telling Tim we did 30 yards out, but it's hard to find. You know, it's hard to move them. You know,
we thought we had a market, and now we don't.
Yeah.
So now what do we do with how many tons of textiles that we got sitting there?
I probably got 7-8 tons.
Yeah.
So we'll have to.
But
go
this is
that.
Diversion that happens on the tipping floor when the haulers come in and they dump their load. That's called the tipping floor.
Correct.
This is where there's this massive piece of machinery lifting up all the stuff and dumping it over the wall into the waiting trucks on the other side of that wall.
Well, can I stop you right there? Yeah. Before I forget, you should probably take a tour of...
We're going to do that Friday. They couldn't get us in there early, but we do understand that.
Yeah, okay. I have actually toured this facility when Tim Rose was in charge here. But I'm happy to see it again more, as it is today. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it'll
be a different view now that we own it. And to your point, Madam Chair, I think relative to the Recycling Oversight Committee, if we're able to get the legislature to clarify commingled recyclables as being waste, then, you know, we have a lot of information about implications of that to pull from the staff, communicate to everybody, ultimately the haulers, etc., so that we can get recyclables in line with the way we've always operated our MRF. So I think your point is...
I think the answer comes back to source separation.
Right.
And that's what we're not doing. And I have no clue how much recycling we really do based on how much material is generated in our county.
Everything's single stream. I mean, we feed ourselves from the towns. We do have some other, Dutchess County has a couple of places over there where they do now, at their drop centers, they do dual recycling. But other than ourselves, we're our biggest customers, you know, going to these towns.
Right, exactly.
Are you talking about the transfer station?
Yes, the armor, the material recycling.
So then it wasn't always that way. It is that way now.
No, it's always been that way. We've always picked it up.
It's always been dual stream. That's right, yeah.
Right.
Prior to 08, everything was dual stream.
Yeah, right. And then it was single stream, and now it's dual stream again.
Your biggest volume of recycling is pickup, is a subscription.
The towns have always been dual stream.
The towns, yes.
But you're talking about the haulers.
So, yes, subscriptions.
The haulers are the problem.
So subscriptions is single stream.
Agreed. And I think, again, these other entities that are discussing waste in Ulster County agree that that's a problem. Right? Mm-hmm. We're in agreement. What you're saying here, there's agreement.
Right. Yeah. But agreement... it's got to get to a law that solves the problem.
And I think they all agree
and
with
so,
that, too.
So that means it really comes to the legislature.
Okay. You know, I think if we put that message out, that it would be welcome. But in the right way, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm hearing the same things in here today as I've been hearing in the other committees that I've been attending as well. Just wanted to say that much.
No, I just want to point out, Tom, and I don't mean to cut you off because I know you want to say something, but I just want to say, first of all, Catherine, we did almost 600 tons of scrap metal diversion out of the transfer station, which is true recycling. You're actually diverting that to make something else. And almost 100 tons of cardboard, which is really good. It's like 5 track and trailer loads. So listen, I want to say this also. If something what happened to where, you know, Ulster County forced people to separate at the residence or the business, you still can't force them to bring it to us. You know, you got to remember there were, you know, big companies out there that also have their $35-40 million plants that, you know, those plants have to pay for themselves. So that's there's two parts of the law is all I'm trying to say, Tom, is I just want to make sure I'm really clear on that. We can't force people to bring it to us. If you may be able to change the law as far as how it's picked up, how it's collected, where it's separated, but who, you know, where it goes, we have no control over. So
understood.
I just want to make sure.
Understood, okay. Charlie. I mean, that's kind of the point is if it doesn't meet our standard for separated recyclables, then the flip side of that coin is it's waste. If it's waste, it's subject to flow control. So if somebody wants to have a contaminated load that where they mix together stuff and the liquids are contaminating the paper and all of that, it's garbage. So we need that clarified and driven down through the haulers. And if everybody is source separating, at least at the level of commingled containers, recyclable fiber, then where they take it after that is the same as it always has been. In reality, we're not changing anything except acknowledging that if it's not dual stream, it's garbage. And that, I think, is reinforced by our education campaign and is acceptable to anybody that has an opinion about solid waste in this county, maybe outside of the haulers who, you know, need to then make a change. And some of them might bring more stuff to us. Some of them might not. Some of, you know, frankly, you're the one that got me thinking about this when you said it's hard to know who did the contaminating without the stream separated. You turned on the light bulb for
me. And that was the intention.
Right. So thank you for that. But, you know, now we need everybody else to catch up with the reality. Markets are not able to eat garbage. Markets eat materials that can be remanufactured and further processed, and the more contaminated they start out, the less capable that is. So everything flows from that. We got an existing law. Let's work with
Tom,
other parties to clarify that, and then you'll have input about how that conversation goes.
When it comes to markets, comes to recycling, I just want to repeat myself, and I know I'm being redundant in saying so, but I want to say it again, right? Everybody forgets, like, really important stuff, right? It's really simple stuff, right? Market demand, supply and demand, grade dependent. That's it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, that's what you, so those are the, for existing markets, for something that we already are recycling, so that can still be marketable. Now, there are things out there that people want to recycle. You know, if you want to recycle 50,000 pounds of garden hoses once a month, you know what I mean? At some point in time, if you're steady enough and you can constantly do 50,000 pounds, you may be able to find a market. If that market dries up, you may not be able to find another one. There's a lot of variables that people don't take into consideration. So I just want to make sure everybody understands, right? Really, the driver is markets. If you don't have them, you can't recycle it. Glass is a shining example of that. So, and I love glass.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do. So I just want everybody, I hate plastics. Can't live without it because it's in every part of our life now. But, you know, and glass is a wonderful product. It's very, very friendly to the environment, but you can't find markets for it because everything is plastic.
Right.
So there are ways that we can create markets in this county.
That would be through manufacturing.
There are different ways to do it, but there's also using ground glass for building projects.
But that's not recycling, though.
That's
beneficial
that's,
use, okay. Which is completely different.
All right, but...
Because when projects are built and run out, we're dealing with that right now.
Okay, you know, I'm just saying, you know, the creative thinking that goes into what do we do with our glass, it's a good material, but there aren't the markets, so that's a question. That's not an end point.
Well, and Margo, you're able to get details from Charlie. Obviously, I spent years with the Office of Recycling Market Development making all the same arguments that Charlie just made. I'm happy to tell you anything you want to know about any manufacturing process, including plastics. But that understanding, when people push back against, well, I threw it all in the container, isn't it recycled? there's a lot of explaining there of what Charlie just said, that the public does not have a grasp of, the legislature does not have a grasp of, so just understand you're signing up to do a lot of that explaining as that person.
I mean, I'm signing up to do that explaining to some of the people, but I'm not signing up to do that explaining to the public. The public, well, that's a bigger issue.
Only through this discussion and participating in that committee, we have other help for that. So.
Tom, I just want to say, I'm going to drop it right here, right? I really myself have a hard time, right, selling, you know, anything that's burying something, right, in the name of construction, backfilling subject tanks, pipelines. I really do. It's a problem for me because I think that if we're going to find a solution for something, we should find a true solution and not burying something or putting a Band-Aid on it. So I just want to make sure my thinking, right, isn't about construction on glass and burying it and using it for backfill. Landfills do it too. You know, they call it recycling. And you know that, Tom, right? That, you know, they take the glass, they use it on roads to get to the landfill, to get to the working phase, and they call it recycling. It's not. You're still burying it. You're still taking up airspace. So I think that, you know, there needs to be a distinction between true recycling and burying something or using it as a beneficial use. So I just want to make sure we're clear on everything. Mm-hmm. And I think we owe it to the public and the people that rely on us to come up with solutions to do so. So.
Yeah, agreed. Well said.
So I am going to drop it there.
Yeah. One thing I would like to say is I was talking to Charlie recently, and apparently the city of Kingston has changed things. He says he has three buckets.
Totes.
Okay.
Three totes.
Buckets. Containers. For one is for garbage and waste and trash.
Right.
One is for
paper and cardboard.
Okay.
And the other is plastic, glass, and metal.
Plastic, glass,
could you say that again? Waste, paper, and cardboard, and then plastic, glass, and metal. Did I get that right?
That's right.
What happened to glass?
That's for the new
city.
Board members. That's because we had a little problem with the city of Kingston. They were bringing dual stream here, and they converted to single stream.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly know that history. Yeah.
So now, what are they bringing that to us now, or are they?
They have, Catherine. That, you know, that's been right since when the agency made a decision collectively with all the board members to not take single stream anymore. That decision was made at that time for Kingston City. We still have, and listen, when we get back to normal, I don't even know what normal is anymore, and there becomes a cost to fiber. The first thing that's going to go down the toilet is the hard mix, and that's what we're getting from Kingston City, Catherine. So I want to make sure everybody's clear about that. You know, the only reason why there's a value to hard mix right now is because cardboard is so high, you know, and newspaper is so in demand, you know what I mean? It pays to separate it. Because what we do with plastic, other places do with fibers. Mm-hmm. So it pays to separate it. But once we get down to the point where, you know, you start to see cardboard at $90 a ton, $80 a ton, it's not going to, nobody's going to want to separate that anymore. So there's not going to be a value to hard mix. There's going to be a cost to hard mix. And then shortly after that, newspaper will also follow, along with junk mail and gray boxes and everything else. Your cardboard will always have, most of the time, a value to it. Because you know why? We're still making stuff, and they need those containers. That's why there's always a value to cardboard.
They make boxes out of boxes,
so,
right?
You know,
hard mix is mixed papers.
So, hard mix is about 65-70% cardboard, and the rest is newspaper, junk mail, gray box, stuff like that.
Thank
there.
You
so
for that.
That's a
okay.
hard mix.
Thank you.
Soft mix is the opposite.
Next.
Okay, let's get on to then.
The Zero Waste Implementation Committee?
Right.
Right? And
this is the Zero Waste Committee, which was here at our agency.
Okay, different thing then.
So, I think that we had...
You want to explain this, Kathy? One of the reasons that we had created this, and Lisa and Joanne were real drivers behind this, is there certain things that this agency was looking to do with regard to that? A good example is food waste trailers. Angie's put out surveys to some of the towns to try and get that rolling. But that type of project is what we would bring to this committee to discuss.
So collecting food waste at all of the transfer stations?
Yeah, or some of them just to run a pilot program.
Well, not exactly.
Because some of the, you know, we found out that some of the towns, you know, they weren't, not everybody who filled out the survey was totally receptive, so... We want to make sure we start out of towns that are really, really interested.
Some are already
doing
it.
And correct. And populated.
That's true as well. So that type of project that would fall in there, we want to bring that to the committee to discuss about
how to actually put the program in place and run it by that committee first.
So was that mostly a discussion with the transfer stations or with the town supervisors? How was that organized?
Yeah, I'm just saying that project is a type of project that would come to that committee. Uh-huh. As far as advancing that, we haven't gotten to that, so right.
That's the vision.
It is on the horizon. Okay. Yes. Yep.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we would have these trailers at the transfer stations only. The other concept was, you know, like the firehouse has a chicken dinner in the summertime as a fundraiser, and they have, you know, all these people come, they sell all these tickets, they have all this waste, that we would help them organize themselves. So what materials are they going to use to eat off of? What materials are they going to use to eat with? What utensils and stuff like that? So that when they're all done, all of the little wooden forks could go into the wooden fork container. All of the garbage could go into the garbage container. Everything could be sorted out, and then the trailer could come back here and offload it. But the whole idea was to try to use these events to actually recycle things or get it, all the trash or the garbage to the garbage as well.
So Catherine, I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to, so if you think single stream is a problem, you know what I mean? Food waste, too, has its own demons, so in the form of contamination. So.
But that is what would be discussed at this
100%.
Case, that type of the actual operation.
I should tell you all, I need to leave. I got a hard stop at 1:30, so maybe if we can avoid talking about what the committees are going to talk about and just talk about assigning to the committees.
Good idea. Okay. I bet Margo would want to be on the Zero Waste Committee.
I'll be on that committee.
And Kathy will stay. And who else would like to be on
that committee? I'm happy to join.
Tom, okay.
Can we have four if Jim wants
to? No, I don't want to. I was pointing at you. Oh, okay. I was giving you the thumbs up.
Okay. Okay. So that completes the committee. Great. Election of officers. It turns out that Joanne Myers was our vice chair, and she's no longer with us. So we have to have a new vice chair. Do I hear anyone making a nomination for that position?
I'm happy to nominate myself.
I'll second.
Okay.
I think you know you can assign me anything you need, anytime you need to already, but if vice chair makes that more formal, happy to do it.
Second by Jim. Any other nominations?
I'd just like to explain why I'm backing Tom, because of his experience in the solid waste business. I just feel it's a natural fit. You know, I know you've been here a long time and working hard, Charlie, but you just know so much about solid waste that it just kind of makes sense to me.
Charlie's a treasurer, too.
Trust me, Ken. I have a full plate. Okay? I've got audit committee, finance committee, and board chair.
Good.
Or board treasurer.
He does the work on the audit
committee. Okay, good. So. Well, thanks.
Do I hear any other nominations for the vice chair position? Okay. I will make a motion, I need a motion to close the nominations. I guess I can make that.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I guess aye.
Okay.
Feels funny.
Yeah, I thought he was going to take the roll. That's what I was waiting for.
Yes. Now we'll vote by roll on it.
Okay, we can do that.
Catherine Bynkoffner.
Aye.
Charles Landy.
Yes.
Tom Kakandis.
Aye.
James Gordon.
Yes.
Margo Becker.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a new vice chairman.
Okay. By virtue of being nominated and there being no other nominations. Okay. I think there's a special word for that, but I don't know the terminology. Okay. We have minutes from the January 24th annual organization meeting, which I did not review this time.
I have one question. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was from the organizational meeting or the regular meeting.
Okay.
But there was a notation that sludge was off by 338 tons. Does that mean it was down 338 or that it was over 338? And for a little perspective, is that a lot or a little? You know, and I don't want to get into a long discussion in this group. We can do that later, but I just wanted to note that in the minutes.
Yep, I can explain it real quick if you want. So it was off. It was short of our budgeted tons by 338, and the main reason why is when I did the budget, it was before we went out to bid. When we went out to bid, we ended up taking it. We take it now down to Rockland County Composting Facility. So we have to have school like grit and rags and all that stuff. It was three classes, wastewater MSW. So that wasn't taken into account when we did the budget. Okay. And that's a majority of what that difference is.
And what do we usually, like, say annually or whatever, you know, measurement? How many tons does the agency do in sludge?
We should be around 3,200.
A month?
Per year. That's
okay.
What we budgeted
Thank
this
you.
Year. Yep. I usually try to do like a 3 or 3.5 year average on that one.
Okay, great, thank you.
Yeah, but at some level, Tim, you're going by historical, and it's an estimate. It's
correct,
not like,
correct, which is what our budget isn't a municipal budget the way you would do it. Our budgets are really forecasts or
right.
estimates
yeah,
for higher averages.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any concerns about the organization meeting specifically?
Do we approve those separately?
Yeah, well, yeah, we have to approve them separately.
Okay, and I move to that we approve the organization.
I'll second it.
Okay. Do I hear any ayes? Vote?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So the annual organization meeting minutes are approved. 5-0. Then the minutes of the regular board meeting, which I believe is where that question came from, right?
Yes.
Any questions or concerns there?
Well, pending that clarification, I just appreciate, you know, if that were in it. So for people who read, you know, just because, you know, I got edited a lot, and I know what it's like.
Okay.
So if you could just
now,
make
where
that.
Exactly is this comment that you're concerned with? Because I couldn't find it quickly.
Well, it was in the report on the sludge. How much sludge was, and if it, you know what, I'm willing to let it go for now, but let's, why don't we, just in the interest of moving on, I can happily vote to approve the minutes, because I had my question answered, but I just want to make a note when we write these kind of things, just to be very precise, mm-hmm. because people who are reading it and don't have the access to, you know, the board that I have, won't be able to.
Yeah, saying it's off is a little colloquial, I hear you.
It says, mm-hmm. that just, you know, it says sludge is off by 338 tons from the target tons due to wastewater and MSW being removed. From the sludge prior to being sent to Rockland to come.
Is this on page 2?
Yep, page 2 and runs to the, it's the bottom of page 2 and runs to the top of page 3.
Okay. Normally what I do is when I get the minutes, I read them at home. And if I have any comments, I send them off to our office manager, Melinda, sitting over in her corner.
Okay, great. Well,
and then she'll have my comments at least. I do that for any committee I'm on, normally, but I don't think anybody else regularly does it for these particular minutes.
Okay, well, if I find little glitches like this in the future, I'll do that, and that way we won't have to take a board meeting time.
Yeah,
right. Thank you.
So, that's probably the simplest thing to do. So, if we wanted to make a change here right now, I would entertain any changes. We can put them in right here and approve the minutes with that change.
Just say sludge was down by 338 tons from projections, or however you want to say it. Just so, you know, and it doesn't really matter that much, but it's just something that
less than or something.
Yeah, less than. Just to clarify it.
Gotcha.
Projections of blank. I was going to say sludge was below projections of.
That works.
Yeah.
Down to whatever we have here. Okay, great. How much was it down? It was down 28 tons?
338.
Okay. Oh, so the amount it was down was 338. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So the actual projection was?
338 higher than actual.
Oh, okay. But we don't have the actual. I see. Okay, got it. Okay, great. We'll make that change. Okay, so let's approve the minutes.
Move to approve the minutes.
Okay.
As amended.
As amended. Thank you, Charlie.
As amended. Perfect.
Seconded.
Seconded. And?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Good. We have gotten through that. Okay. Communications and announcements. The next regular board meeting is scheduled for March 21st at 12 noon here in the boardroom. Did you go through and plan ahead for the rest of the year?
I did, but I wasn't sure if you guys were going to switch up like the day or anything.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Yeah.
So since our last board meeting, I accepted a not full-time position with the Vermont Energy Investment Corporation, a not-for-profit energy-related consultancy that does a lot of what NYSERDA does for the state of Vermont and also Washington, D.C. But relative to the meeting timing, for me, taking out the middle of the day is not really much of an option, or have to dial in and minimize that amount of time. So I'd like to propose that maybe we look at Thursday later afternoon, not keeping the staff late, but maybe could we meet at 4 o'clock, kind of at the end of the workday?
So we would change the day and the time?
Yeah, Mondays are always a jam up.
And later, just for me, later in the month is helpful too, because it allows me more time to
make fine. I mean, so same week, the last
fourth week.
Would we be the last Thursday?
Or the fourth Thursday, because there might be five Thursdays in some months.
Fourth Thursday.
Fourth Thursday works.
Yeah.
You want to put that in the...
That would be much better for me as well.
So I'd make a motion that we change to Thursday at 4 p.m.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I meant to clarify the fourth Thursday of the month.
I abstain on that.
So one of the things that Kathy was talking about is that I want to put together a list ahead of time of when our meetings are going to be, rather than on a monthly basis.
Thank you, Tim. I think that would be useful.
Okay, so we're going to meet Thursday at 4 p.m. So the next meeting then would be on
the 24th.
March 24th. Okay.
So did I hear you correctly? That's only for next month? We're not sure you're going to get
No, that's when they're setting the meetings for the rest of the
rest of the year.
The fourth Thursday.
Okay, fourth Thursday. Okay, general reports. Recycling outreach team program update. Here we go, Angelina Brandt. Tell us a little good stuff.
Thank you, Dr. Bangalter, and welcome to our new board members as well.
Thank you.
And I just want to reflect for the record that you've all received a new media kit that contains all of our outreach education program materials for composting, waste sustainability, and recycling. And we're going to have more orientation about our recycling education program later this week. But at your monthly board meetings, you'll hear from me kind of a snapshot of some of the current projects that we have in focus for that month, for the current month, for our recycling and waste sustainability programs. And during the month of February, our outreach messaging has centered around waste reduction tips for Valentine's Day. Always try to relate it to something that's relative in our culture and our communities with our month-to-month kind of targeted messaging. So we did some outreach around sustainable gift giving and then recycling right tips for some of the common things that people give and receive for Valentine's Day. So this crossed over into our social media campaign this month, as well as a blog that we added to our website. A copy of which the blog was included in your board packet, along with our winter e-newsletter that was sent out earlier this month. And our newsletter made the official announcement that our spring compost bin and rain barrel sale is now open. Backed by popular demand, residents can shop online through our custom online store that includes various educational videos about composting. We have about a dozen different compost bins and rain barrels and composting tools that residents can sign up to pre-order, and then the way that works is they'll come to our special one-day event to pick up their pre-order supplies, and that will be held in May during Compost Awareness Week, which I'm sure you'll hear more about as we inch closer to May. Regarding advertising this month, I shared a link to view our digital streaming PSA that's airing for 2 months on a combination of different networks, such as connected devices through Roku, Sling, Tubi TV, Pluto TV, other examples of channels I have written here, NBC, CNN, HGTV, Discovery Channel, etc. So this PSA that hopefully you got the chance to view is played on connected devices to Ulster County zip codes, subscribers in Ulster County only. And this is the first time that the agency has incorporated this type of digital advertising into our program, so I'm really excited about that. And the campaign is intended to reach this previously untapped audience. Like I said, we've never really done digital advertising before. We want to inform people about the agency and try to draw more traffic to our website. So you probably saw the message, you know, come visit our website, look at our A to Z recyclopedia. We have over 100 items listed that people can search for local recycling options. So I'm really pleased with the way the video came out. We've added it to our YouTube channel, so we have the right to play it everywhere, which we hope to do. And metrics about the campaign will be available after it's completed. But just to give you the scope of the project, it was anticipated over 179,000 impressions will be played to Ulster County audiences. And as I mentioned in our last board meeting, this time of year is very centric to my work as all of you required annual reports for DEC, which I'm very glad that they are coming to a close. So obviously in the wintertime, it's not the busiest time of year for in-person programs and tours and things like that either. But we do have more than 30 requests that I am planning and coordinating right now. So heading into spring, this is always a really busy time. However, I did conduct one virtual presentation this month called Rethinking School Waste for the Mount Academy. That's like a communal living neighborhood in the town of East Opus. And a group of students ages 10 to 13 have been learning about various kinds of environmental protection and have focused on recycling and reducing plastic waste at the school. And following our program, the students sent the really sweet thank you notes that I also circulated with the board because I just think it's really nice to hear about the impact of these programs that we offer. And I did receive an update from the teacher this week who stated, the students have divided themselves now into four groups responsible for recycling, dumpster reduction, composting, and public awareness. They've written down their short-term and long-term goals for how to change different things about our school's waste management. And we're expanding our waste management revolution to include 150 people in our local community, planning awareness at events, and more. So this is just one example of the great success stories that we hear and the feedback that we hear from the community members that reach our program, and I'm sure there'll be many more as we head out into the new year. And as we head out into the new year, lastly, I'm glad to report we will be welcoming our new recycling educator this week. After a long recruitment process with a lot of really great interest in the job opportunity, I found a local candidate with excellent qualifications and great interest in recycling education. So really excited to bring them on board, and we'll be welcoming Tanisia tomorrow is their first day.
What's the person's name?
Her name is Tanisia, Ms. White, and we're really excited to grow the team and bring her on. As I mentioned, spring's always a really busy time. With Earth Day and everyone's consciousness, we have a lot of program requests and things to check off our list. So I'll be excited to be working with her.
Thank you.
And again, that's just kind of a snapshot of some things moving across the program, but we're going to take a deeper dive when you come later this week. But I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. So these Tiffin gizmos we have to get from New Paltz.
Yeah, in our newsletter, we had caught wind of this reusable Tiffin project in New Paltz by the New Paltz Climate Smart Task Force, and they're encouraging residents to purchase these stainless steel reusable takeout containers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, considering that clamshells are very widely not recyclable, they want to encourage local.
Well, the restaurants in New Paltz would be kind of used to this concept, but if you tried to take it elsewhere, they might not catch on yet.
They are having a targeted campaign in New Paltz because mm-hmm. it's kind of the like centric
right.
to their
right.
focus, but it's definitely replicable, mm-hmm. if that's the word to use, across other climate smart task force. I think they're doing a great job, and they keep selling out. I've heard from Janelle Potter
oh,
that
great.
They've
oh, good.
Made
okay.
several orders, and it's very highly successful.
Well,
so we wanted to sneak
I
that
get
in our
a lot of takeout from New Paltz, and I didn't even know about this, so this is good
yeah,
to know.
Yeah, me too.
So
they're dishwasher safe. They're totally sanitary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the task force also went to the mm-hmm. public health officials and kind of got validation that, you know, this is totally fine for people to bring their own containers. to local restaurants and cafes, and there's
encouraging. Have they been reaching out to the restaurants and cafes as well, or is it just focused on the public?
Yeah, thank you for your question. So it's kind of a phased approach. So the first phase is get them to people. People buy them and are encouraged to take them to restaurants. And then in the second phase of their project, my understanding is that they'll then be approaching the restaurants that are saying that they will gladly use them and making more of a concerted effort to promote the sustainability initiatives by the businesses. So then kind of once people have them and are using them, go back to the restaurants and kind of reiterate, these are the restaurants that want, you know, are encouraging waste reduction, which I think is really lovely.
Great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. For me, who's given up cooking, I like it. Okay. So let's see. Thank you, Angie, for this.
Madam Chair.
Good stuff. Yep.
Is it possible to I'm sensitive to making sure that our resolution gets taken care of. Can we move administrative matters, old and new, ahead of the balance of the reports? Because we get good documentation of the content of the reports.
That sounds like that might be a good idea.
And I'm also sensitive to the fact that the new board members aren't used to looking at these and might have questions for the staff. And that's great, but I don't need to listen in on that part.
Okay, so the very last thing in the packet is the resolution 2562. So we'll just go out of order and we'll move to dealing with that resolution, authorizing and approving the purchase of a 2024 Mack Granite 64BR roll-off truck. Any comments you want
to make? Charlie, did you get a arrival date on that truck?
Yeah, it's like anywhere from 12 to 15 months.
Is that going to put a dent in your operation?
No, it's not, Charlie. That's, you know, even if I did it last year before this year, it's on this year's capital plan, I think, right, Tim?
Yep.
On this year's capital plan, even if I did it last November, it's not going to make a difference. You just can't get anything. We can't. I mean, I had a hard time getting a mirror from one of my roll-off trucks. Thank God we found one that we had up in our stock room. But, you know, you just can't get anything.
And it changes what you can get when you can't get it. This week it's DeAffluent, the next week it's pencils.
Tires, remember, Tim, it was Bobcat tires. I mean, it was steer tires from my roll-offs. I mean, we're supposed to be doing things on state bid and piggybacking and stuff, but, you know, when you can't get it, you can't get it, and you're forced to actually get it wherever you can. When they got three tires over there and it's a little bit more expensive, the trucks have to keep moving.
Charlie, did you get a locked-in price or over that span of time?
This is a piggyback price, so this will be locked in.
That's locked in.
Once I send this signed PO from you folks to the to Mac, you know what I mean, it'll be locked at that point. And just FYI to all you guys and girls, we're going to be looking at one more new tractor, too. So at some point in time, whether it's the next board meeting or the board meeting after that, and it's simply because it's just going to take so long to get.
Is that in the capital plan also?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did everyone get my email on this resolution?
Yeah, I mean, functionally, we approved the capital plan.
Correct.
And the variance in the expected price is the issue that we're forces us to make it a separated resolution.
Yes, that's why I did that. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, yep. So that's the correct process as I understand it. So thank you for that.
Yep.
And I would move that we vote and accept the resolution as written.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Do I hear a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
Approved 5-0.
Excellent.
I didn't have a sense, Madam Chair. Do we have any old business?
I have one thing that I did want to bring up.
Thank you.
I know the audit committee received our first internal audit report, but I wanted to make the new board members aware of it, and I'll give that to you guys on Friday as well. We hired internal auditors back in the fall, and they released their first report, and the first place they tackled was our composting operations, so they looked in full detail on that, and they also looked at ABO compliance, which I spoke about earlier. From a composting standpoint, they had no material findings. They did have a number of recommendations with regards to documenting and tracking the process. Angie actually came up with a new sheet rather than just using like a calendar book for for instance, for measuring temperatures that we have to do. And part of the reason why this is important is because we do have to submit, you know, reports to DEC with regards to that operation, too. So our internal auditors, you know, they did a true yellow book audit, you know, objective and independent, and that is actually posted to our website now for everybody if they want to go see it as well. Like I said, I'll forward that along to you, too.
Tim, can you remind me the name of the auditors that we hired? I know we met with them. Yep. I listened to them. I just don't remember the name.
Yep, Sickler, Torsha, Allen, and Churchill. They actually
Could
did
you say that again?
Sickler, Torsha, Allen, and Churchill.
Thank
they're
you.
They're out of Lake Katrine, and they actually, there's an internal compliance audit in the ABO regulations, you could say, but it's not necessarily a requirement for the small authorities like us. But back when, I believe it was Leon Smith was the chairperson, we had gotten together, and this was 2014 and 15, we were like, well, let's just do, rather than hire like a full-time staff person for that stuff, let's bring in an independent firm to do some internal audit work, which we did. I thought 5 years, 6 years later was a good time to do it again. So that's what we did. So they're I think next they're going to work on recycling commodities for the next report.
Yeah. And I'd just like to make the public comment that I'm still trying to understand all of our responsibilities under the audit process, even though I'm part of the audit committee. Like I said, I kind of rely on other members to help me with that. And Tim's able to explain that very well, so that's something where I just encourage you to do what I do. If I have a question about what the process is, just send Tim an email. And
yeah, and I will bore you to death.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good stuff for us to understand, especially at the start.
Right.
You and I didn't do that when I first started, and I regret that.
Well, that's part of the reason why, you know, why we did that. You know, it was twofold. One, that's the second part of this audit, was the ABO audit. You know, we learned a couple different things. A new board member onboarding checklist that we just discussed. So that process came from this internal audit. And I also have a checklist, I think, that we put in each of your packets for board member independence as well. And that was something else that we should... Yes, you do it and say, yes, okay, but the formally documented is something else. So that's something we're also going to do going forward. And I want to let you know that so the internal audit tends to deal more with compliance and internal controls, whereas an external audit, which we also have going on right now, deals on whether or not our financial statements are, you know, are free from material statements. So that's a whole separate situation.
That's done every year.
Yes,
automatically.
And that is required.
Usually it's been a firm up in Albany that does it.
Yep, and it's a part of our naming list.
Since we've been COVID, all the meetings have been on Zoom.
Right. Thanks for explaining that,
too. Yeah, read the composting audit report. It's very informative. I thought there were great ideas, and all the documentation is really lined up nicely.
So you did send that to us already, or it's in this packet? Or?
No, I'm going to. I sent it to the audit committee first to give them time to review it, see if they want to reach out to our auditors
directly
and speak to them, you know, because it's always good to have that independent communication with either our committee or the board with our auditors that's outside of management.
Sure.
And there's requirements of that as well.
Okay. But so then we'll see it later on.
So yep, I'll probably. It's even on our website right now.
Great.
So once you click on it, the pop-up menu will list out the first internal audit report.
Thank you.
On the question of our budget for the new members, recently we received two impressive awards for the way we handle the finances here. And it was awards received was the CFOA, that's the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting, and the other was the AFRA Award of Financial Reporting Achievements. I think that's noteworthy at this time as we're talking about budget.
So
and I think our hat should go off to Tim DeGraff because he kind of engineered that.
And then,
most recently, about October, we had a well-advertised public hearing on our budget, and no one came and addressed our budget. So I think that also is telling. Thank you.
And that's, is it telling that the public is lazy or what?
Both.
Both. Okay. A great financial statement that did not need comments, but
it
showed up.
I have never met anyone quite as dedicated to the whole world of accounting and keeping track of our finances as Tim DeGraff.
It's a sickness.
Right? But hey, we all have our little good things that we do. And I just when I was on the board, well, maybe it was 10 years ago, and I left, and there were a lot of financial problems that have been not only created by Mr. Bemis, but other problems that just existed because of the finances. And when I came back to the board, I was really so happy to see that we're planning, we're organizing. We were able to, at our last meeting, I think it was in December, purchase new equipment that we would have been waiting longer to purchase, but because we had some extra funds, we could go ahead and order right away. And again, of course, it's equipment. And what's going on with equipment? Everything is late. So if we can just get in line earlier, that really helps us. And we couldn't get in line earlier if we didn't have some overages. So,
Catherine, that's a really good point. You know, I want folks to really think about that. You know, Catherine's 100% right. Had we not been doing what we were supposed to be doing, and I have to give Tim credit on that too, our finances, had we not been able to purchase the equipment required to do the job in a timely manner, these hard times right now, you know, when it's, you know, a year and a half, right down to the last time we got the dump trailer, we had no idea that everything was going to shut down. You couldn't move. We couldn't move metal or anything. And we had, in fact, this is back when Fred was on the board also, we had made some decisions to buy tractors and dump trailers just in case of problems. And sure enough, we had a lot of problems, and we were able to move metal and glass and everything else due to these purchases prior to these problems hitting. So last year, there was a lot of problems with waste being moved, and we had no problems at all. Our floors were clean every night. So, Catherine, that's a very good point, and I thank you for bringing that up. That's Tim's finances, purchasing the equipment required to do the job has kept us in compliance, and the DEC has been very happy with us. So that's a good point, Catherine. Thank you.
Right, and this is just the stuff that we move around in our county, because all of our trucking to the landfill, to Seneca Meadows, we hire it out. We have bidders on that.
Understood.
Tractor trailers.
So, and Madam Chairwoman, I'm worried that Tom has to leave in like 10 minutes. Okay, we have business to attend.
Okay. So let's see. Where are we now? We're at 2:00.
If there wasn't any other old business, then we'd be at new business.
We should wash them, Charlie, when they come in.
We'll do that as soon as I leave there.
So I'm wondering if
this is the appropriate time to share the information about okay. I have a handout that I'd like to share, Dr. Beinkoffner.
Well, ma'am, if I may, I'm just worried that I want to address the controller's comment. Tom has to leave in 20 minutes. So
we have to do that in
well, then let's move to executive session. Tom has to leave. We have to get this done.
Yeah.
I move we move into executive session.
Wait. Well, okay, we have to state why we're going into executive session.
To discuss the matters that the controller raised and to decide whether we're going to appeal or not.
It's litigation.
Right. Litigation. Okay. Thank you for the term.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Both Margot and Tom second. Okay. All in favor of going into executive session?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. We'll have to ask the public to leave, and we will go into
executive session. That's my email address.
Happy to send it, Charlie.
Okay, thank you.
Tim, if you would advise me to just
here,
put this
meeting
on mute for the duration of
yes.
I'm afraid that's what has to happen.
Can I do that?
Yeah. I can mute our line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Is that appropriate?
I'd be happy if it just went outside.
Okay. So we're now going to mute the meeting.
Yeah.